Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be in the book of Joshua. We're going to start out. We've got a rather extensive readings tonight in Joshua as we go through the first few verses of that chapter. But I love Joshua because Joshua is God's, it's like a second chance book. Israel failed to listen to God, and God gave them, they wouldn't go. So he took all those who wouldn't go out of the picture, but Israel still went into the promised land, and it's a second chance. Our God is a God of second chances.
Yes.
We're going to see that. So I'm going to ask y'all to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read this together. If you're able to stand. If you're not able, don't stand. I'm not asking you to stand if you can't. But I've got a reason for that. After we're done reading it, I want you to cross the aisle and welcome somebody to church. I think that's always a good thing. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 8 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel.
Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast.
There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe
to do according to all the law
which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have the good success."
Let's cross the aisle and welcome somebody to church. If you don't know somebody, find out their name. I love that song.
I did too.
That's a good song. Are you hot? I'll tell you, I'm just not wearing that coat tonight. I will whenever I do it, whenever I need to. Drink a little something. Wet your whistle. We live in a self-help sort of age, don't we? Old Oprah Winfrey and your Dr. Phil, everybody's just self-help. I know when I was in Rock Hill, Tennessee, over in Lexington, I pastored a church. It was a sweet congregation, much like this. And I had pastors that I prayed with. I'd get together and we can pray with those pastors, and we would pray over our churches. And we got to talking about some of these mega churches like Saddleback. And Saddleback is a huge church. Rick Warren's church, 22,000 people in it. I can't even imagine that. And Bill Hybels had a church, Willow Creek, 24,000 members in it. That's not the largest church in America. Largest church in America is Joel Osteen's. He's got 48,000 members on the roll. Can you imagine that? That's more, I think, than is in this county. That's just amazing as you think about it. And we always prayed about the growth of the churches and how we wanted our churches to grow. We want our people to be equipped to follow God and to do the things that they need to do. And I've never been called to a really huge church. I've always been called to pastor at a family level. That's what I like. I like a church that's a family, where we know one another. But Bill Hybels surprised people one time. He came out with this phrase as he talked about Willow Creek. He said, and that's a picture of Bill Hybels, if you're wondering who that fellow is in your little booklet there. But he said, we made a mistake, talking about the leadership of their church. What we should have done when people crossed the line of faith and became Christians, we should have started telling people and teaching people they have to take responsibility to become self-feeders. We should have gotten people and taught people how to read their Bible between services, how to do the spiritual practices much more aggressively on their own.
Amen.
Just last year, Bill Hybels was fired from Willow Creek, the church that he started, because he got into immorality. And they discovered that he was in sexual immorality. And those things come. And I'm not saying that to cut down on Bill Hybels or anything else. But I did say it to say this. We all need the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, let anyone think that he stands, take heed lest he fall. And we all are subject to failure. We all desperately need the Word of God. And that's what I'm going to talk to y'all about tonight. As Joshua got ready to go into the promised land, God wanted them to understand the way to success. And he's going to tell you tonight how to succeed in life. And the way to success is to follow the disciplines of God, to pray to God, to make prayer something that's you're very serious about. I find it hard to even find pastors today that want to pray with me. Prayer is such an important part of the Christian way of life. It is so desperately needed. You can't hear the voice of God if you don't pray. Something else you need to do is the Christian discipline is meditate on His Word. Don't just read it, but meditate. You see, if you're born again, God put the Holy Spirit inside of you. And Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He's the Spirit of truth, and He will guide you into all truth. Jesus said that the Father's Word is truth. So the Spirit came to guide you into that. So as you meditate on the Word, as you don't just read it, but you take it and you ruminate over it, and you study it, and you look at it, God will give you knowledge. We need to be consistent in absorbing God's Word. We need to take His Word in every single day. Just like you eat every day, you need to eat of His Word every day. And we need, as a people, to be unified in Christ. There's a terrible problem when a people are not unified. We need to be unified, focused on Jesus. And that's something that's brought out as we go into Joshua. They're not going to take the land if they've got little cliques. And, you know, people say, well, every church has a clique. Well, it may, but you should not have one. You should be one people under God. That's what the Lord wants you to do. And most of all, God wants you to be in love with Jesus. As we're going into this, we need to be in love with Jesus. You know, as they got ready to go into the land, God didn't tell them to build a better weapon, to build a better sword, to have a better thing, to have better tactics. He said, I want you all to be in one accord, being with me. And God told him, He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He said, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. If God is with you, you will be victorious. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about this and break this down. In Joshua 1:8, the first thing he tells us is we need to internalize God's word. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, what book of the law? This book of the law. God's word. That's what he said. This is the word of God. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Let's break that down. First of all, the Bible is a book of the law. What is the law? The law is a higher authority that tells us what is right and what is wrong. That's what the Bible is. He said, that book of the law, it shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, what is he talking about? You see, what you believe is what comes out of here. Always does. If you believe God's word, then it's going to come out of here. It's going to come out of your mouth. It's going to reflect in what you say and how you speak around others. If God's word is in here, it's internalized, it's going to be externalized in what you say and what you do. You know, God told his people in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first generation of Israel, he told them this. He said, look, he said, you shall remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And he said, in Deuteronomy 6, he said, these words which I command you this day, what did he say? Shall be in thine heart. That's where it's got to be first. Amen. It's in your heart. And he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Well, that's in the mouth. If it's here, it's going to be here. Why do we have so many children leaving the church today? Why are so many young people not coming to church? Because they have parents who are not teaching them the Word of God. The reason the parents are not teaching the Word of God is they don't believe the Word of God. Not really. If they believed it, if it's in here, it's going to come out here. You're going to share it with your children as God's word. That's what you're going to do. You know, he says, you shall teach them diligently to the children. And what else does he say? And shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Oh, if you love God, it should show in what you say. Amen. In everything you say. Amen. I was blessed when I was in the military. When I first went in the military, I went in as a young Christian. I was saved just before I went into the military. And I prayed. I was like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know you want me to go here. And God raised up some men around me, a brotherhood of men, of Christians, who were like-minded. And I used to get together with those men every day, and we would sit down around a dining room table, and we would study the Word of God, and we would look at it, and we'd share things with one another. And that's what started my growth. But it has to be in here, and then it needs to come out of there. That's what it needs to do. You know, if what does God's word have to say to me? You need to internalize the book. You need to ask yourself, what is God saying to me? What does God want me to do with this word? King David, who was one of the most successful kings in all of Israel's history, King David said this in Psalm 119. Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, he loved the word of God. It is my meditation all the day. He thought on it. He said, that through thy commandments, he said, thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You're always going to have enemies. If you're drawing air, somebody don't like you.
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth. You always going to have an enemy. But David said, my enemies are always with me, but he said, my God is always with me. Because I love that word. And he says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. And look what he says. Because I keep thy precepts. He did the things that God gave him to do. When you read and meditate on God's word and do the things that God tells you to do, God gives you power for living. Psalm 119:113, he said this. He said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And then he said, thou art my hiding place and my shield. My hope is in thy word. That's where it is. It's in God's word. We need that insight. You know, the Apostle Paul, who had been terribly afflicted in ministry, but the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, how do we have the mind of Christ? What is the mind of Christ? It's this book right here.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit inside of us and this book right here. God has given us the mind of Christ. So we need to get that into us. We need to internalize that. Jesus, every time he was attacked, he said three words over and over again. It is written. Y'all do that with me. It is written. He did that over and over again. The devil attacked him in the wilderness. It is written. The Pharisees came to him. It is written. The people came up and asked him questions. He said, it is written. Everything he did, it was written on his heart. It came out of his mouth. And that's why Jesus defeated all of the enemies. You know, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You know, that word of God should be in our mouths. You know, we like to put things in our mouths, don't we? We like to put food in our mouths. Some of us like putting food in our mouths a little too much. Amen. I can take a testimony to myself. I like it a little too much. We put things in our mouth. You put things in your mouth that you love. God's word, we should love it that way. We should love it like a good steak. We should love it like fried shrimp. We should love it like whatever your favorite. We should love it more than our favorite food. We should love God's word. We should treasure it. Treasure it. You know, if you've got God's word in here, then when the doctor gives you that bad face, y'all know what I'm talking about. He says, well, I'm sorry, you've got a problem. When he gives you that face, if God's word is in here, you will go through the valley because God is with you. Amen. He is. We need to treasure God's word. You know, Jeremiah said this. He said of God, he said, thy words, he's speaking to God, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The reason why many Christians do not have joy and rejoicing in their heart is because they do not treasure God's word. You know, when you treasure God's word, you realize you are called of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. God has a place for you in heaven. And one day we're going to get to graduate, Ruby, and go to a whole lot better place.
Amen.
I get a little excited every time I think about heaven, don't you?
Amen.
But you're God's own possession right now. Right now, you belong to God. Do you belong to God?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, do you belong to God?
Amen.
If they say they do, that's the greatest thing you can have. You belong to God. Amen. You know, your heart needs to be... You know, so many Christians today, they fill their minds with the wrong things. We watch mindless TV. We listen to mindless music. I see so many people staring at an iPhone. And I don't know what they're doing. I saw two young ladies the other day at McDonald's. They were sitting across from one another doing this on their phones. I don't know if they were texting one another. I don't know what they were doing. But we stare at that. If you fill your head with bubbles, you have nothing. You need to fill your head and your heart with God's word. God's word gives power. Proverbs 23:7 says this, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think you are is what you are. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We need to meditate on his word. We need to bring it in. Something else. Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou, look what he says next, observe to do according to a little bit of what's written therein. That ain't what it says, is it? It says, I couldn't fool y'all because y'all reading it with me, aren't you? He says, you observe to do all that is written therein. You see, the faith that has power is the faith that does all that God requests of us. You're to do what God tells you to do. This, Israel is going to go into the promised land. And they're going to come up against enemies. And God is going to tell them to do some strange things. And God's not going to explain why he tells them to do that. But God always does that. God tells us to do strange things all the time. Now, you don't believe me? Listen to this. If somebody strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other cheek. Don't that sound strange? It does. Because what are we taught in the world? If somebody strikes you on one cheek, lay them out. Amen. What did Jesus say? But turn the other cheek. What else did he say? He said, if somebody comes up and they take your coat, he said, give them the cloak also. Well, if somebody comes up and steals your purse, are you going to go home and get another purse for them? That sounds strange, don't it? But you know what God was saying? He was saying, you need to treasure me more than anything else. But do you know what makes a difference? Is when the world does evil and you do light. And when you do light in response to evil, then the evil loses its power.
Amen.
And it can't stand when it has no power. You see, darkness will always lose. That's why Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That's why he said, give them your cloak also. That's why he said, if they want you to go for a mile, go the second mile with them. You see, evil can't stand against the light. I've seen evil defeated many times by love, and that's what Jesus did. Amen.
Amen.
God tells us to observe it. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now listen to his words. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man which built a house, and he dug deep, and he laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, the stream beat vehemently hard upon that house. But it could not shake it because it's founded on a rock.
Amen.
Oh, praise God for that. But then Jesus said, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently hard. And immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Beloved, if your life is not built upon doing what Jesus says, you will not stand when the darkness comes.
Amen.
You will not stand when you're as Christians. You will not stand as people. You will not stand as a church if you're not founded on the bedrock Bible of God.
Amen.
You've got to have his word in your heart, and you've got to do what Jesus said. That's how, look what it says in 2 Peter 1:4. Wherefore by is given unto us, look what it says, exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. God has positioned you to take of him. He's giving you the nature of Christ. He wants you to be just like Jesus. You're to be partners with him. And as you take God's word in and you absorb it and you internalize it and you do what God tells you to do, God will bless you. He says, you have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. He says, besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith, he says, virtue, and virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If you'll let it go into your heart, God will make Christ into you.
Amen.
He will shape you just like him. So God told him, he told him this. Look at there in Joshua 1:8 again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Jesus wants you to succeed.
Amen.
He wants you to succeed in life. He wants you to succeed in your business. He wants you to succeed as a church. He wants you to succeed in your marriage. He wants you to succeed in every part of your life. But the only way that'll happen, got to have the word of God in your life. Amen. You know, what else he said was this. He said, let God take over your life. Let God take over your life. Look down there in verses 2 through 5. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. Now, I want y'all to follow these words. Arise and go. Y'all see that?
Amen.
All right, circle that in your mind or with a pen. Arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. He said, it's already yours, even to the children of Israel. And then look what he says next. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. He said, the land is yours. from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and those were a warrior people. The Hittites were a bloody warrior people. And unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand with thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, I'm reading a book right now. It's called The Way of the Warrior. I like to read. I read quite a bit. And you learn a lot by reading. And the author, in that book, he was talking about that the warrior's greatest asset is not to be visible, but to be invisible. And as I read that, God spoke to my heart. And I began to think about things. And God kind of runs my mind in these directions whenever I start meditating on His Word and meditating on what I need to tell you. He begins to take me down a little path. And I began to think about the American Revolution. The American Revolution, y'all know what the American Revolution is, don't you? I don't think some of the kids today even know what that is. But it was whenever we declared independence and we separated from Great Britain. Now, Great Britain was the greatest power in the world at that time. They had the greatest navy. They had the greatest armies. They had the greatest everything. And whenever armies fought back then, what they would do is this. And I don't know who thought this up. I think it was probably a general thought this up. Everybody dressed up in bright colors. Everybody marched out into the battlefield. The two armies faced one another. And by the way, the generals were way in the back. Amen? That's where they were. Somebody would yell fire and both sides would shoot at the other side. The people that were standing there all dressed up and pretty got killed because they had targets on them. The redcoats wore red. That's easy to hit red. You don't miss red. It's easy to see. And how in the world was the colonies going to defeat these vast armies? Well, we can't do what they do. We can't go out there and stand up in two different groups and fight. They've got better weapons. They've got better everything. What do we do? Well, you know what the American colonists did was they learned something from the Indians. You know what the Indians did? The Indians didn't go, hey, I'm over here, shoot at me. You know what the Indians did? They hid among the trees. They hid among things. They got behind rocks. They dug ditches and got in them. That's what the militia did. Whenever the armies would come in and they'd march through the woods, those doggone rebels would just shoot at them. And we killed them by the bucket load. We killed them off. We did that by making ourselves invisible. There's a principle I'm trying to share with you now. When life is about you and you make yourself visible, you're going to be the target. And the devil's going to blow you away. I'm going to say that again. When life is about you and you're standing up straight and looking all proud and cocky, you're going to get blown away.
Amen.
You know what you need to do? You need to hide yourself in the Word of God.
Amen.
You need to hide yourself behind God. See, that's what God told Joshua and his people, if you'll look at it. He told them, he said, I've already given you all this land. But then when he told them, he said, you got to go. Now, what does go mean? It's the opposite of sitting in the pew. Amen. You got to stand up. You know what go means? It means to do this. And God said, everywhere where your foot touches, you're going to take it. But you know what God told him? He said, I'm going to be with you. That's what he said. God said, I'm going to go before you. And I'm going to take it. If we can grab that and hold on to that and realize that, God is going to go ahead of us. We should never be defeated. We're not a defeated people. Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome death. He's overcome everything. And when we're faithful and we keep God in front of us, you know, we can't win the forces. We can't win this battle against the devil by making it all about ourselves. We need to hide ourselves behind Jesus. Job said this, and Job was a man that suffered terribly. He said, my foot hath held his steps. In other words, he said, I stepped in God's footprints. That's what he's saying. I stepped in God. Wherever I saw God's footprints, that's where I put my feet. He said, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept, and I have not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If we would walk behind God and put ourselves in God's footprints, God would bless us. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
I believe He will. That's what we're called to do. So let's be strong and a good courage. I'm looking forward to continuing through the book of Joshua. There's some fantastic things we're going to see in this book. But remember, what do? Pray, read the Word, meditate daily, and get it inside, internalize it. And what are we supposed to? We're supposed to do it. We're to do it. If we don't do it, it don't do you a bit of good. It don't do you a bit of good. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all join AA and say that again. That's,
Amen.
I told him this morning, Rayburn, I said, I want everybody to be a member of AA. That's Amen anyway. All right. So can we say Amen?
Amen.
Well, look at that. Jerry didn't hold me up. We sung a song, and we're getting out of here real early tonight. I preached 30 minutes. Unless y'all want me to rewind, I don't usually do that. I preached 30 minutes and I'm ready to go. Let's end with one of my favorites, Amazing Grace. If you can't stand, you don't have to. But if you can, so let's stand and we'll close with Amazing Grace. We'll sing the first verse, then we'll sing about heaven, and then we'll praise God. How about that?
Praise God.